I'd like to speak to you about something that I've already mentioned earlier, and that is the experience that my family and I had during this storm that occurred on September 1st. The remnants of Hurricane Ida came barreling through central New Jersey and dropped a tremendous amount of rain. And a number of spiritual lessons occurred to me. I may have mentioned one or two to you in this message before the Lord's Supper a few weeks ago, but I wanted to elaborate a little bit on this and share these points with you. I'd like to speak to you about some lessons from a sump pump. Who knows what a sump pump is? I probably didn't know what a sump pump was years ago, but now I do. A lot of people have them in their basements. We have one in the unfinished side of our basement. Our next door neighbor has two. We also have what's called a French drain on the perimeter of our basement. And this is supposed to help to avoid flooding. Unfortunately, in our case, it didn't work. It was too much rain. It didn't help our neighbor either, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But I want to look at a few lessons from this ugly looking hole in our basement floor through which the water was supposed to drain during this storm. Our town, Griggstown, received approximately 9 inches. I was looking online several weeks later, and I read that some places in New Jersey received more than 10 inches. Can you imagine that? 10 inches of rain in a short amount of time, 2 or 3 hours. It was a tremendous amount of rain. It was not normal at all. In fact, I went online sometime after the storm, and I looked up the normal rainfall amount for New Jersey. And it said it's about 4 inches in an entire month. 4 inches per month. And we received 9 or 10 inches in 2 or 3 hours. It was too much water. And I don't know if you remember this, but before the remnants of Hurricane Ida came through New Jersey, there was another hurricane a few days before Ida that was maybe a couple hundred miles away from the coast of New Jersey out in the Atlantic. And it was Hurricane Henry. And because of Henry, this area of New Jersey received, if I remember correctly, about 4 inches of rain in one storm. So Henry came through, dropped 4 inches of rain, and then after that, Ida, another 9 or 10 inches. So when Ida got here, the ground was already saturated. The water table was already high, and so 9 inches was just too much. And we even had tornado warnings. I experienced this for the first time several weeks ago while I was in Pennington, New Jersey. I was coming out of a medical interpretation, and I was in the parking lot of a Stop and Shop in Pennington, and I was just looking at my phone. Maybe I went there to get a snack on something. All of a sudden, my phone starts making this noise, and it tells me, essentially, take cover. There's been a tornado in the area, and my siblings got in contact with me, and they reminded me that my nephew lives in Pennington, and he was close by. So I drove to his house as quick as I could, trees blowing all over the place, and I mean, it looked pretty bad. Fortunately, nothing happened, but we took refuge in their basement. But the same thing happened again when Ida was coming through, because apparently a tornado had actually touched down in Rocky Hill, which is just 4 miles from Griggstown, the town where we live. And they told us to take shelter. Well, Maria, Leslie, and Jonathan were in the basement. They were the smart ones. I was upstairs in the living room, calm. I wasn't concerned about it, really. I wanted to see the rain, the amount of rain that was falling. I thought it was neat. And I was watching TV. So I was relaxed, watching TV, watching the rain. Well, at one point, when it said that a tornado had touched down in Rocky Hill, I looked out the front door and the trees started blowing like crazy. Then I took shelter in the basement. Nothing happened. I went back upstairs again and just relaxing, watching the rain, just taking it easy. In other words, I wasn't taking this too seriously. Again, my family took refuge in the basement. About 7 p.m., it started raining cats and dogs. That's what we say when it rains a lot, right? I have no idea why we say that. We know that cats and dogs don't fall out of the heavens. But that's the way idioms are. They don't make sense at times. It was raining, cats and dogs, just pouring. And that was a Wednesday evening. We actually canceled our Bible study in Perth Amboy. And you all canceled the study here in Piscataway because, we had tornado warnings. And we had this storm coming through that was going to leave a tremendous amount of rain. If we had met in Perth Amboy, I'm convinced that I wouldn't have been able to get back home. That's how flooded out it was around the area where we live. The roads were flooded out. So I think it was a good decision concerning the tornado warnings and the tremendous amount of rain that we were going to receive. Now here I am upstairs, relaxing, watching TV, looking at, you know, the rain. Oh, that's neat. And I love to see the power of God. I love to see the lightning. I'd like to see a tornado, not up close, from a distance. That represents the power of God. And there I was upstairs, and I never imagined that almost an hour later, my son would yell from the bottom of the stairs, "Dad, water's getting into the basement!" No, that's what he said. "Dad, water's getting in the basement." Of course he yelled from the bottom of the stairs. That's where their bedroom is downstairs. We just redid half of the basement. And they had all kinds of stuff. He has a $2,400 tower, his computer on the floor there, and the water's coming in from everywhere. So as I descended the stairs, I hear this terrible sound. I said, "Oh, that's not good at all." I know exactly what it is. It's a battery-operated alarm. It has two metal contacts on the bottom. And when you pick up the alarm, it's battery-operated, and you touch those two metal contacts with your fingers, beep, that's what it does. So when I heard that sound, I knew automatically the water has reached the alarm. And sure enough, I get over the area of the sump pump, and the water is just bubbling up through the hole. But not only that, I'm out in the living room, which is on the other side, the other extreme of the basement, and water's all over the living room. I'm thinking to myself, where's it coming from? The sump pump's on the other side of the house. We supposedly have a French drain that's supposed to take care of that. It's coming up through the living room. And then in Jonathan and Leslie's bedroom, behind the door, where the molding is, it's coming up through the molding, like bubbling up, like a fountain. What's going on here? That's called hydrostatic pressure. I learned that during this whole experience. The pressure was so great. The rain that we received from Hurricane Henry and Ida was just too much. The ground was too saturated. The water table had risen, and the water had to go somewhere. It would have gone through the walls if it had to, and I think that's probably what it was doing. The sump pump had failed to make matters worse. I don't think it was working at all, and the basement was just filling with water. But as I mentioned before, perhaps the most exasperating thing about all this is that we had just renovated half of the basement. It just finished it. You know, before COVID, Miguel's the one who did the work. Right around COVID, when COVID hit, he was basically finishing it. And I did the finishing touches after I put some more molding up. And so we got everything exactly the way we wanted it. Everything in its place. And never imagined that something like this would happen, especially after doing all this work. When I walked over that area of the sump pump and I saw the water bubbling up through the opening, I think the thought that occurred to me, I was very uneasy about it, very anxious, but I think the thought that occurred to me was, what if this were the second coming of Christ? Because I was thinking, I'm not ready for what's happening right now. You know, this flooding that's going on. I'm not ready for this. Because I was upstairs taking it easy, relaxing. And I thought to myself, what if this were the second coming of Christ? Because He can come at the moment we least expect it. So I wanted to share some of these lessons with you that occurred to me afterwards. Now, that was the first thing that occurred to me. But one of the things that occurred to me was that others suffered much more than we did. Jonathan reminded me of this once or twice as I was exasperated, as we spent the night scooping up buckets of water. The reason we had 8 inches of water in our basement. But the reason we only had 8 inches is because we spent the entire night dumping the water with a bucket, with buckets or whatever we had, dumping the water into the bathtub, the toilet, and the sink. I remember Maria at one point said, "Go upstairs and just relax, you know, take," after we'd been doing it for a while, "just try to take a nap." I couldn't take a nap. The gears of my mind were spinning. And when I got back down, I got in that water, I was trembling because it was cold. But we got 9 inches of murky brown water in our basement. I felt really bad for us. And I thought to myself, well, you know, the neighbors, they've probably got it made. You know, they're okay. Our next door neighbor has 2 sump pumps. We only had 1, and our sump pump failed. Our next door neighbor has 2 sump pumps. They were running the entire time, and he had 21 inches of water in his basement. That's nothing. That was a Wednesday night it occurred. Thursday, I had to go all the way to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to get a pump, to get the water out, because I couldn't find a pump around here. But on Friday, Maria said to me, let's go out and get breakfast. You know, we were worn out from the whole thing that happened. Let's go out and get breakfast, which we did. We went to Franklin Diner, and the waitress came over, and she said to me, it took me 2 hours to get to work. So I pulled out my phone. I had taken pictures of the damage in my basement. I said, well, at least this didn't happen to you. And I showed her a picture of the basement. And she said, the water in my basement reached the ceiling. I said, really? So where do you live? She said, Manville. And then I realized what we've suffered is nothing in comparison to that. But when Jonathan said, a lot others have suffered more than we have, he was probably thinking about the houses that were hit by tornadoes, which is something really crazy too, because in South Jersey, Mullica Hill, several houses were destroyed by tornadoes. And you know that, if I'm not mistaken, 60 people were killed when Ida came through, the most of whom were residents of New Jersey. I don't think there's been a tornado event that's been more destructive in the history of New Jersey, since we've been recording, rather, than that what happened with Hurricane Ida. Others suffered a whole lot more. Yeah, our roof could have been torn off. We could have been killed. We have to count our blessings. I probably told you this illustration before, but a preacher mentioned that he was in, I'm not sure exactly where he was. I don't know if it was Africa or India. He was in some area, some impoverished area of a country in the world. I'm not sure what country it was. And he was preaching. He was up in the pulpit along with another brother. And he said during the entire sermon, there was a sister whose back was turned towards him the entire time as he's preaching. She was standing up and she had her back facing him the entire time. And when he finished the sermon and the time to lead a song was announced, she turned around and the preacher said, and I saw the most hideous thing, referring to the sister. Her body had been destroyed by leprosy. And she said, can we sing Count Your Blessings? That's pretty amazing. Count Your Blessings. Her body had been destroyed because of that disease, and yet she wanted to count her blessings. What a wonderful example that sister is to us. Another lesson that we learned from, talk about lessons from this sump pump. Sometimes preparation is insufficient. I had mentioned to Maria on more than one occasion after we purchased the house, I told her we need to get a replacement pump just in case the one that we have burns out. I don't know how many times I said that to her. We have to get another pump. We can get another pump put in the same hole. If that one dies, then the other one will start working. Guess what? I never did it. I thought to myself, you know, the preparation that we have, it's good enough. We'll make do with what we have. But the preparation that I had made was not enough. And in Matthew chapter 25, we read about the preparation of some that was not sufficient. I'm talking about five foolish virgins. They were prepared in part. Maybe we've forgotten about that fact, but I want to read this with you real quick. In Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us, and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Also, later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, you do not know the day nor the hour. Five of these virgins were prepared to a certain extent, I guess we could say. Five of these women, they had their lamps with them, right? At least they had their lamps. They had oil in their lamps. But the difference between them and the other virgins who were wise, not only had their lamps, they not only had oil in their lamps, but they had extra oil. Because the idea was, what happens if the bridegroom takes longer than we expect and we run out of oil in our lamps? Let's take some additional oil just in case. I didn't do that with respect to this sump pump. To me, having the pump that was there when we purchased the house was good enough. Even though I had no idea how old it was, I had no idea when it would burn out. And it turns out it stopped working in the middle of that huge storm. You see, I was prepared, but only in part. Partial preparation is not good enough. We need to be fully prepared. We need to be fully ready for Jesus' return because we have no idea when he's going to come a second time. We have no idea in all reality. I don't mean to scare people, but think about this. You have no idea, number one, when you're going to die. Two, you have no idea when Jesus is going to return. So how do we solve that problem, that dilemma? We need to be ready always. Because, as I've told brethren before, if I'm ready today, if I'm ready tomorrow, if I'm ready the day after tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, if I'm always ready, Jesus can come at any time because I'm always waiting for his return. I'm ready. We need to be ready now and always. We need to be prepared and not partially prepared, fully prepared. Here's another lesson that I learned. This is a hard lesson. It was too late to buy another pump. And you know something? I actually tried. Not only did I try, Jonathan and Leslie tried too, but I tried in the middle of the storm. Think about how crazy that is. In the middle of this huge storm, I get in my car, I'm thinking, the basement's filling up with water. I know what I'll do. I'm going to hop in the car. I'm going straight to Home Depot. In the middle of all that rain, I took our road where we live, Mosher Road. I made a right onto Honeyman, and then made another right on Bunker Hill. Bunker Hill is the main road in our area. And I get to the first dip in Bunker Hill at 45, 50 miles an hour when I hit this huge puddle. And it tears out something underneath my car. I had to get it fixed after that. It was a minor repair, but something got knocked loose when I hit that puddle. And I get to the second dip, and I may be slow, but I'm not that stupid. The water was high there. And I thought to myself, if I go through this, I'm not going to get out. And sure enough, you know, the next day when all the water had cleared out, there were two or three cars there, right there on the road. Other people tried to get through that. But the reason I was going to Home Depot is because I found out through Leslie that there was a pump available. I just had to go get it. You know, the manager said that we had got one more pump. So here I am going, trying to get it. It was too late. They say, maybe you heard this saying, when your house is on fire and burning down, it's too late to go out and buy an extinguisher. I hope you understand the spiritual analogy. It's too late when Jesus is coming back. And it's not going to be a little tiny battery-powered water alarm. Beep. When Jesus comes back, I mean, it's going to be something that will be noticeable to everyone on the face of the earth. Trumpets blaring. Jesus, when he comes back, it's going to be too late for a lot of people. They're not going to be able to say, you know, let me get my house in order now. Yes, he's coming back. Just give me a couple more seconds. I just need to go to the store and get another sump pump. No, it's not going to work. The Bible talks about, we've been studying the book of Hosea, actually finished it, but Hosea mentioned an idea that's also repeated in the New Testament. And the idea is that when God's judgment comes upon people, they want to hide in caves and say to the mountains, may they cover us. We're not ready. We can't allow that to happen in our lives spiritually. We need to be ready. We need to be ready now. We can't get our house in order when Jesus comes a second time. We can't keep putting things off. You remember the saying, don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow? Is that how it goes? Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. That's procrastination. Nope. The famous saying of procrastinators is don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow. We need to get our house in order today and not put it off. Make sure we're right with God today and not put it off. In order to do that, according to the Bible, it's necessary for us to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We have to repent. Repentance is a change of mind. That's what it means in the most basic sense. It's when a person recognizes, I'm a sinner, I've sinned against God, I've disobeyed Him. I want to be right with Him. It's a turning from sin and a turning to God. That's repentance. So one believes in Jesus, he recognizes he or she is a sinner, wants to leave sin and turn to God. He must confess faith in Christ as the Son of God and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins. That means you'll be on the road to being prepared. The moment at which you come out of the watery grave of baptism, God knows your heart. If your heart is right with Him, then you're ready at that point. But from that point on, we have to continue to be ready. We have to maintain ourselves in a state of salvation by being faithful, by serving God faithfully. We don't earn salvation by being faithful, but God wants us to continue to be faithful, to persevere in His Word, because it is possible to fall away. The Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. It's possible to fall from grace. That's why we have to continue in the salvation that we've received through Christ. But if you do that, if you believe in Christ, if you repent of your sins, if you're baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can be ready at that point. And then from then on, you have to strive to remain in a state of readiness because Jesus can come back at any time. You can't say, oh, I was baptized in X year. I can live as I want. I can do as I please. No, that's not how it works. I can live in the world. I can go back to the world. No, that's not how it works. We have to continue to be faithful. The lessons that we've seen thus far is that others suffered much more than we did, and we have to count our blessings when we suffer and realize that there are others that suffer more than we do. Sometimes preparation is insufficient. We need to be totally prepared. Partial preparation is not enough. The third lesson that we've seen is that it was too late to buy another pump. And here's another lesson. Material things can't get us out of life's biggest problems. You know, sometimes we think if we have everything fixed the way that we want it in our lives in a material sense, then we're fine, we're set, we're okay. That's not the way it works. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, that godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Godliness is something that we need to achieve, to develop in our lives as Christians. But verse 7 says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. So there's no way that you, with your money, with your possessions, you're going to be able to fix yourself spiritually. If I get to the level of where I have this income, I've got this type of house that I want, then I'm going to be everything that God wants me to be. No. Material things aren't going to get you out of a bind spiritually. Some of you probably know Stan Prasad. He used to be a member here. Steve knows him. Stan used to have a phrase that he would repeat every once in a while. He would say that when you die, you're not taking a moving van with you. We come in this world with nothing and we leave this world with nothing. You remember Steve Jobs? You've heard him before, right? You know his company, Apple, one of the richest companies in the world. Apple Computers, worth billions if not trillions. Steve Jobs passed away several years ago. He himself was a billionaire. From what I've heard, he was pretty stingy. Bill Gates, according to what I've heard, is more of a philanthropist. He gives away more of his money. Steve Jobs kept more of his money for himself, according to what I've read. I don't know if it's the truth or not. But what I do know is that Steve Jobs passed away. He died. And he died of pancreatic cancer. If you're going to get cancer, that's probably one of the worst forms of cancer to get. With all his money, he could have had the best hospitals and the best doctors in not only in the United States, but in the entire world. He had no limit to what he could do with his money in order to give him the best chance of survival. And yet he didn't. He passed away. With all that money, it still couldn't save him. So even if we have a lot of material things in this world, it's not going to be able to get us out of the greatest problems in life. In Luke chapter 12, we'll start in verse 16. It says, "And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This individual is not ready in the parable of Christ. He spent his life, or a good portion of his life, storing up as much wealth, as many possessions as he possibly could, to the extent that he could kick his feet back and say, this is the life. I finally got what I wanted to achieve in this life. I'm good. I'm good as I am. I don't need anything else. And what did God tell him? It's time for you to leave the body. Time for you to die, and you're not ready. And others are going to be in charge of all this stuff that you've accumulated. That's a tragic story. May it not happen to any of us. I think this is the last lesson I'd like to share with you. Lessons from a sump pump. It can happen when you least expect it. I couldn't imagine when I went down in the basement. It was almost as if I were dreaming. You ever have a terrible experience and you wish someone would pinch you because it's so bad, you think that this is a nightmare, this can't be happening? Well, that's what was going through my mind probably, something similar to that. This just can't be happening. I didn't expect this. I was so relaxed upstairs watching TV, watching the rain. I thought that the sump pump would take care of it, and it didn't. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul says here to the brethren in Thessalonica, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." I want us to think about this verse a little bit, this idea of Jesus coming like a thief in the night. My question to you is, will his coming be like a thief in the night for everyone? Have you ever thought about that? We have no idea when Jesus is coming back. That's right, we have no idea. But let me tell you something. Again, if you're ready today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, if you're always ready for Jesus to come, is his coming going to be like a thief in the night to you? And the answer is no, because you're expecting him. This idea of Jesus coming like a thief in the night is directed mainly or specifically at those who are not ready for his coming. The idea is we don't know when he's going to come back. But if we recognize that he can come back at any time, if we're always ready, then his coming will not be like a thief in the night for us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and its works will be burned up." Again, I think this is directed mainly at those who are not ready for the second coming of Christ. We need to be ready now and always, because in all reality, Jesus can come at any time. We shouldn't have to say that Jesus can come when we least expect it. No, we shouldn't have to say that. Our mentality should be, he can come at any time, and I want to be ready. Not, he can come when I least expect it. You don't want to be like I was when I was in the basement seeing that water come up through that hole in the basement floor. It caused me a tremendous amount of anxiety. But having water in your basement is nothing compared to not being ready for the final judgment. I can't imagine the anxiety, the anguish that some people will suffer knowing that they had every opportunity to serve God faithfully while they're on the earth and they didn't do it. That'd be a terrible thought. And I remember one brother who presented a lesson here years ago. He presented this thought. The worst thought that one can have in hell will be, speaking of heaven, I could have gone there if I had wanted to. I just didn't want it. I just didn't desire to go to heaven with God. The question for all of us is, are you ready? Am I ready? Are we ready for the second coming of Christ? I hope this lesson has helped you in some way. Thank you for listening attentively. And at this time, we're going to stand and sing the song selected. I believe Ernie, if I'm not mistaken, Ernie will be leading us.